That's going to wrap up this Sunday afternoon. The final score from First Energy Stadium, the home of the Browns, the Arizona Cardinals 34 and the Browns 20.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Football season is here, and that means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Nathan Skura, Matt Wilhelm back with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to Gabriel in Virginia now. Gabriel, welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy, you there?
Gabriel, how you doing?
Doing good. I just want to say thank you for taking my call. I'm usually an avid Twitter user and figured I'd have to look for you guys to have a silver lining for the travesty of coaching that happened yesterday. I just wanted to say that, this is the first game that I had fully put on the head coach, Mike Pettine, after you could tell from the video broadcast that Josh McCown was altogether wrecked after those hits and falling on his elbow. Mike Pettine didn't pull him out, at least for Johnny, and I just don't understand it. The whole mentality of he offers us the best chance of winning was thrown out the door because now what are we doing for Thursday? What happens if Johnny Manziel isn't going to play? Are we bringing up our third-string quarterback? I don't understand it. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you guys have to say. I appreciate you taking the call, and you guys have a nice day.
All right, thanks, Gabe. You too. You know, what was interesting, people are making the conclusion that, you know, the fact that Pettine didn't play Johnny Manziel yesterday, I'm seeing a lot of this, that means he just doesn't like Johnny, he doesn't trust Johnny, et cetera. What was your interpretation of what happened with Josh McCown? Clearly injured, clearly in a lot of pain, clearly a tough guy who did not want to come out of the game.
Yeah, my interpretation, and I never truly played in the National Football League under the concussion protocol. And so it was just kind of coming of age as I began, you know, meandering my way out of football. And what I would say is he was a football player is what it was. He was a football player going out there wanting to fight, wanting to play. And I think, you know, Josh wants to play for not only – because at this point it's not about Josh McCown. You know, it's not about upholding a Hall of Fame-type career. It's not about securing a future contract. It's about going to battle for him and more so than anything for his teammates – and the team that he signed on the dotted line for, and that's the Cleveland Browns. And I think in playing the scenario out in my mind, if I were Mike Pettine, if a guy's adamant about wanting to play in that moment with all the adrenaline, you're going to take you're going to take his side more often than not. Because, you know, this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of league. You've got two guys behind Josh McCown. And I hate to say this, but I mean, how many times, you know, when guys trot out there for the NFL Combine in their skivvies, it's like, oh, they're just like pieces of meat. It's really what we are. With free agency so rampant, they can hire and fire us at will, guarantee a salary. They don't care because it's a multi-billion-dollar business. In some cases, you don't care. Okay, go out there, Josh. You probably do give us the best case to win, even at 75%, because then Manziel's going to come in here, and we don't know what he's going to do.
So let me ask you a question about that, because you hear a lot of it. You hear about a lot of, you know, trust issues, or like you said, we don't know what he's going to do. At what point does the record of the people that you do know what they're going to do become enough detriment to, or get you to the point where you're saying, I want to find out what the guys that I don't know what they can do? Because right now, what you know and the guys that you quote unquote trust to follow the plan, et cetera, they're 1-5, they're 1-6. Johnny Manziel's 1-0. Everybody else, they're 1-6.
Right. And I think it goes back to the mindset that in putting Johnny Manziel, and as you've said many times, you know, even early in the year, do you continue to start him? It would be perceived as a give up. Right. And if in fact, you know, the future for these coaches now at 2-6 is not certain, they'd probably rather go down fighting as opposed to be perceived as a give up. That's the most sense that I can make of it. But I get your point. I completely get your point. And I think the quarterback is such a cornerstone of every single football game. Guys that play well, guys that don't, that you can start to do that throughout, you know, the starting lineup and get those young players. And I think, you know, Ibrahim Campbell's a guy that we're going to see this week, who we're going to see in place of Joe Hayden, whether it's Pierre Desir or Johnson Batamosi or Justin Gilbert. You would think that'd be a you know, wave your hand in the air type of situation to see what you can get. Because, as you meant, you're a 10-point underdog. You're going on the road against an undefeated football team. And it's a shock-the-world mentality. Might as well shock the world at the same time that you're actually evaluating some of the younger players on this football team to see what they're capable of, because that is your future.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. And, you know, you watch the game at the end, and Johnny was in there, and Johnny threw one pass to Bo. It was incomplete. And just the reaction from the crowd about that particular play, everything about it, just a lot of things seem very, very interesting.
And this is what, and just to talk about it, since you mentioned it, and I just want to throw it out there, is I find it very interesting that Johnson Batamosi gets to play over Pierre Desir, a guy that has started the last 2 weeks in place of Joe Hayden as a corner opposite Tremont Williams, and yet Dwayne Bowe is so outside looking in on this offense that he plays in garbage time with Johnny Mann, with your backup quarterback, that he's not, but yet they trot out every single week and they talk about, we're going to need him. There's going to be a time that he, you know, he can't crack the top four. You know, now it's the top three and it's still not him. I think somebody needs to just own up and flat out say that it's a mistake.
How does and you just wonder how that stuff kind of plays in the locker room. Charles in Canton, welcome to the show. Charles, welcome.
The only way I can explain how I feel right now is disrespected. And it's been a while that I've felt this way. I just believe the Browns go out there and disrespect the fans, disrespect the history of this team every week with terrible play. Leaving Johnny or Josh in, he might give us the best, you know, chance to win. But at that point, you know, somebody's got to say, hey, you know what, you've done enough. Now it's our turn to, you know, get you this win. And nobody stepped up. The coaches, you know, you got to pull out somebody who's going to hurt you in the long run. That's just like a player with a concussion wanting to go back in. He's not allowed. I mean, you can't let him go back in. You can't let these hurt players keep going back in, which are just going to hurt you more and more down the line.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It was an interesting – watching it all unfold, it definitely was an interesting scenario to me, the way that it ultimately did play out. I definitely did think that it was a little bit strange because – but at the same time, I respected what Josh did, and I respected the fact that he was – willing to go back out there. He was willing to continue to compete and to fight, which is what he did. And he gave it all he had. I have nothing but respect for Josh McCown. And when I think that it is time to play the pups, as Mo Pedman would say, it has nothing to do with, you know, Josh McCown not doing the job. Josh McCown's done the job that he was brought here to do, but it hasn't translated into victories for this team. And at this point, you need to – what you know and what you trust and what's been going on has not brought up victories.
Right. I agree, and I think
so. Let's
that,
play the best athletes, yes, and the young guys on the team.
Yeah, at this point right now, what's the worst that can happen? We're not competitive for the first half of a football game and still end up losing?
I don't know that there is a downside to it, but at the same time, I totally understand, you know, the mentality of it, that you want to play the guys that, you know, practice the best. And what I want to know is this, because this is something that I don't have the benefit of the answer to, or the knowledge or the experience. Let me ask you this. How much opportunity does somebody get in practice in the regular season to climb up or down a depth chart? Because is it not mostly scout team against you, installing your game plan and practicing you're going to do? There isn't true competition, is there?
None.
For a Justin Gilbert to really have an opportunity to play better. How
no.
can he play better in a scout team scenario? That's it?
Yep. That's it. That's it. I mean, I would not be surprised if Justin Gilbert has gotten a rep with the starters the entire season. So, yes, it is his ability to show flashes of understanding and maybe while you're on scout team, you are playing the role of a corner of the other team. And in most cases, unless they do something exceptional, like, you know, Richard Sherman, who's always on the left side, and unique situations like that, or they're a press guy off the line of scrimmage who do that a significant portion of the time, you're playing your technique in your, you know, as a Cleveland Brown in the role of someone else, giving them a look of the Cincinnati Bengals. What it really takes, and when the the changes happen in the season is someone is given the opportunity to be the starter, and they just don't perform week after week after week, and you are fed up, and that person, that individual's bad performances have compounded to the point where you have to go to someone else because you're fed up with this guy being a liability on the football field.
It's tough. It is certainly tough. Injuries updates should be coming soon from the Cleveland Browns, hopefully later today. Again, we will hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. That is coming up in our second hour, as is at 2 o'clock. We have got, we've got Jim Donovan. We'll also hear from Joe Thomas from the podium yesterday after the game. And, of course, the trade rumors were swirling. And I think we could talk about those real quickly. And it's simple for me to just say on the trade front, everybody in the NFL is, quote-unquote, always on the trade block. And I think you see a team where you've got a couple of assets who are very, very valuable, and that it makes sense that their names would be out there for a team that still needs to acquire assets for the future, because clearly for the Cleveland Browns, the time is not now.
And I mean, I've heard Brian Cushing's name out there as an inside linebacker in Houston. They're a bad football team. And like you said, they take any asset that may be available who's looking, and a contender who feels like they're one player away at that particular position, who may throw a ginormous carrot out there to acquire that vet and the salary that comes with him.
Indeed. All right, when we come back, more of your phone calls, your reaction, 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.